Welcome to From Water into Wine with Mignon Morel, the place where we discuss the practical and supernatural ways of the kingdom of God that are relevant to your life. And now, today's podcast. Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mignon Morel. I want to thank you for joining us today. And before we begin, I want to quickly remind our listeners that we have a new website, fromwaterintowine.org. Go and check out the new things. We're releasing a lot of new things coming up. I'm going to be releasing some workbook manuals that will help you to go deeper on some of the things that I've been speaking about. I also want to say, if you can, you might want to think about joining our Facebook group, because that's the place where I release a lot of prophetic words and videos and such that God is currently doing. And I also want to make a quick call for support, because we spend a lot of money doing advertising for this podcast. It's our desire to continue to be able to put out more podcasts for free and to keep them all for free and to reach as many people as we possibly can with the good news of the kingdom. So if our podcasts have been helpful to you, I ask that you consider making a small donation, and know that this donation goes strictly towards promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. So anyway, let's get into today's subject. Today, we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you know, or if you listen to these podcasts in order, you will know that I spoke last time on the gifts of the Spirit, what they are and how to tell what your gifts are. I've also included a link on my website to a spiritual gifts test if you're interested in that. But I also want to remind you that the Holy Spirit is the one who decides who gets what gifts. So the best thing is always to start by asking Him first to reveal to you what your specific gifts are. So today we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is an area that most Christians know about, but because we are human and we are drawn to power, we all tend to really focus more on the gifts of the Spirit. I think this is because the gifts seem to be exciting to us because they're supernatural in origin and exercise, whereas most of us kind of think of the fruit of the Spirit as not as exciting or as powerful. But what if I told you that in reality, the fruit of the Spirit is more powerful in a Christian's life than the gifts of the Spirit? Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is aligned with God's nature. The fruit of the Spirit is about who God is, His attributes, and how He is. You know, Satan can counterfeit the gifts of the Spirit with things like false miracles, prophecies, healings, and such. But he can't counterfeit the fruit of the Spirit because it is not a part of his nature. When we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is evidence of God's nature ruling in our lives, then it acts like a protection for us and a control, so that when we use the gifts of the spirits that we have, we use them correctly and we see the fullness of them released. All of this happens because they are funneled first through His mature nature in us. So in this way, the fruit of the Spirit is actually more powerful in our lives because our fruit actually directs the flow of the gifts in our lives. Another important fact about the fruit of the Spirit is that the fruit of the Spirit can actually be used in our lives as weapons of warfare when needed. Romans 12:21 says, "Do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome and master evil with good." Notice it doesn't say overcome evil with prophecy. It says overcome evil with good. Goodness is a fruit of the Spirit and has spiritual power to overcome and shut down evil. Proverbs 15:1, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Gentleness, a fruit of the Spirit, has supernatural power over anger and can quickly de-escalate the situation. Love has supernatural power over hate and can empty hate of its ammunition. Peace, also a fruit of the Spirit, has spiritual power to overcome war in our lives and stop the warfare of the enemy in the world around us. That's why God will often say, when you go into a place like, let's say, the DMV, and you sense the places you don't want to go, right? The DMV, and you sense all the tension in the atmosphere and the people, God will often say, release my peace. The fruit of the Spirit is actually a very powerful, conquering weapon of our warfare that most Christians don't fully understand. The fruit of the Spirit being present, active, and released through our lives demonstrates the supremacy of Christ's rulership and reign to the world around us. The fruit of the Spirit in your life demonstrates the truth and reality of Christ and His kingdom to the people around you. So it's very powerful. Now, before we get into exactly what specifically the fruit of the Spirit is, let's talk about a little bit about how fruit is used in general in Scripture. You know, all throughout Scripture, fruit is used as a symbol for something. It's used in various ways as a symbol of good and evil, and as a symbol of revealing that which is really within or at the root of a person. Matthew 7:16 says, "You will fully recognize them by their fruits. Do people pick grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, even healthy, sound trees bear good fruit, worthy of admiration. But the sickly, decaying, worthless tree bears bad fruit. A good, healthy tree cannot bear bad, worthless fruit, nor can a bad tree bear excellent fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Therefore, you will fully know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name?' And then I will say to them openly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commands.'" So we see here in Matthew 7:16 that Jesus is speaking about fruit representing what is within a person. And he says we can use the fruit in a person's life as a measuring stick of what is really driving them or is the Spirit within him. He also says that just because a person exhibits gifts of the Spirit, like prophecy and miracles, it doesn't mean that they necessarily belong to Him. As I said in my last talks on the gifts of God are given without repentance and are not taken away. You're just held accountable for how you use them. So even Jesus is saying here in this verse that people can function in the gifts of the Spirit, but have bad fruit as far as He's concerned. This is a warning to all of us. And in this passage, Jesus is trying to give us a key on how we can tell the difference in someone who really belongs to Him and who belongs to the world or the enemy. You know, I often tell people when they ask me about, "Oh, Mignon, what about this prophet?" or dreams they had or teachings that they've come across, you know, always examine the fruit. No matter what words are coming out of someone's mouth or how right they may appear to be, is their fruit like the nature of Christ? Do they say one thing and then do another? So fruit and learning to discern fruit in the world around us as a Christian is very important. So another thing about fruit that's made evident in Scripture is that as Christians, we are commanded to bear fruit. John 15:16. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I've appointed you and planted you, that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting and remaining, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." John 15:8. "When you bear and produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine." So we see here that bearing fruit is something we are commanded to do by Jesus as a part of our journey here. It's also the true evidence that we belong to Jesus and are his followers. Jesus goes on to say that there's a price if we don't bear fruit in this life that lines up with his. John 15:1, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do so they produce even more. So Jesus is saying here that from God's perspective, fruit in a Christian's life is so important that the penalty for not being fruitful is death, or rather life apart from God. In later verses in John, it says, if we do not bear fruit in Christ, it says we're thrown out like dead branches that are tossed into the fire. So very sobering. So let's talk about what exactly is the fruit of the Spirit. In short, the fruit of the Spirit is the work that the Holy Spirit does within us, turning us more into the likeness and nature of Christ and turning our nature more into his nature. Galatians 5:22, and I'm reading from the Amplified version here. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper and forbearance, kindness, goodness, which is benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and humility, and self-control, self-restraint. Against such things, there is no law that can bring a charge. The fruit of the Spirit is evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit within our lives, and it is also the work he is doing in our lives as well. For instance, he is working within us to make us more loving, more kind, more patient, and gentle. Because again, all of this is the nature of Christ, and these attributes and this nature is supposed to be growing and active within us. Now, the Apostle Paul goes on to help us understand more about spiritual fruit by explaining exactly what fruit is not in a person's life and how to tell when they are following the flesh and their soulish desires versus the Spirit. Galatians 5:18. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I want to say here also that our reactions can tell us how fruitful we are being too. When we are faced with difficult circumstances and people, how do we respond? With anger or judgment, or with patience and self-control? So we have a list of what the spiritual fruit is and should be in our lives and what it is not. And we know that we are commanded to bear fruit, but the question is now, how do we go about bearing this fruit? So I want to share two ways we can become more fruitful as believers and produce fruit that Jesus actually considers real fruit. First, the main way for us to be fruitful is that we need to learn to abide and dwell in Christ on a daily basis. John 15, one of my favorite passages of scripture. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit or that stops bearing, he cuts away, he trims and takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much fruit. However, apart from me, cut off with that vital union in me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. When you bear much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. Now I have loved you just as my Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. John 15, Amplified Version. There is no fruitfulness apart from living in, through, and with Jesus. Jesus is the vine or the conduit, and he grows fruit through us, the branches, via the Holy Spirit. Jesus is what gives us the ability to be conduits, to carry his life and healing power to the world around us. When we are intimately connected to Jesus, his life, his spirit, and power automatically flow through us. Now, apart from him, we can do nothing. And this includes responding and living our lives well. Without living and abiding in him and from him, we are unable to bear fruit. We're unable to access the healing we need for ourselves, and we're unable to be conduits for his life to flow to others around us. In Strong's Concordance, the word dwell means catiocheo. Catiocheo means to live in, reside, settle. It also means to stay, remain, and to be in a state that begins and continues, yet may or may not stop, to tarry or to wait. Ephesians 3:17 says, may Christ through faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in your hearts. One version says, may Christ be at home in us, and may we be a home to him. So ask yourself, is Jesus at home in me? Am I a home to him? The key to abiding in Jesus is striving to build intimacy with him on a daily basis. Now, we build intimacy with Jesus the same way we do with other people. We spend time with him. You know, it's impossible to really get to know anybody intimately unless you spend time with him. We soak in his presence through worship. We get to know Jesus through his word, the Bible, meditating on what he says, and then applying that to our lives. We listen and are obedient to his voice when we pray. I remember when I was first starting to really go deeper with the Lord many, many years ago, I spent hours just soaking in his presence. I spent hours poring over the scriptures, talking to him, asking him questions. Back then I had extra time, so I spent that time with him. And it taught me one thing. I learned by spending that time and getting to know Jesus more intimately, how to discern his true presence so that when I went out and did my daily life, I could discern quite easily from myself what was him and what wasn't him, who the people were that belonged to him and who didn't belong to him. So getting to know him intimately is a part of our learning to abide in him. We choose to be led by the Holy Spirit, who is always seeking to reveal more of Jesus to us and teach us how he really is, how good he really is. We strive to keep Jesus' commandments so that we can stay and live on in his love and in unbroken fellowship with the Father, as he said in John 15:10. You know, one of the best ways to begin to build intimacy with him in your daily life, especially when we don't have much time, is to include Jesus in conversations, to ask him questions throughout your day. Lord Jesus, what do you think about this? Lord Jesus, how do you feel about this person? Lord Jesus, what is your perspective on this subject? You know, include him in your life. We can also learn to abide in Christ by seeing Christ in our fellow brothers and sisters, because the church is the body of Christ. The more we dwell and abide in Jesus, the more fruitful we become in every area of our lives. And I want to say something here about pruning, because Jesus said that God cleanses and prunes us when we are bearing fruit in our lives, so that we can even be more fruitful. You know, most of us see pruning as a bad thing or a wrong thing, but God sees it as a necessary tool so we can grow. He cleanses and removes the old fruit and understanding in our lives so that we can grow and become stronger and bear richer fruit in our lives and have that fruit be born through our lives. So in reality, when we're in a season of pruning, we need to be aware that it means we have been fruitful and it's time for God to upgrade us so that we can become even more so. We need to see pruning as a good tool God is using in our lives that is going to help us become more like Jesus and is going to enable us to have a fuller, richer life and more of an impact here. Now, another way we can bear fruit and be more fruitful is by putting to death the sinful nature in our lives and learning to live from the spirit versus the soul. Now, I read Galatians 5:18 earlier on all the sins that do not produce fruit in a person's life. The Apostle Paul says those things need to be crucified if they are in our lives. Galatians 5:24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature with its passions and appetites and desires. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. We have to get rid of the carnal nature and sinful desires that war against our souls. If we don't, we exclude ourselves from bearing fruit in this life and missing our purpose. We have to choose to crucify those things in our life, those behavior patterns, responses, those desires and sins that don't come from a life submitted to the Spirit. We have to understand that this is a choice we get to make. God doesn't force us to live by His Spirit. We get to choose what is kept alive in our lives and what is crucified with Christ. We get to have the choice to learn to live from the Spirit and not from the soul. Learning the difference between soulful living and Spirit-filled living is one of the biggest things that will help you in your journey here to make the right choices for your life. You know, I speak on the soul and how it works in our lives and how to overcome soulish tendencies in my talk called Soul Talk. And I encourage you, if you haven't already heard it, to go back and listen to that talk, because there's a lot of good information there that will help you grow faster in your walk with the Lord and will help you see the difference between living in the Spirit and not living in the Spirit, and will help you become more fruitful. So I encourage you to go back. We get to choose what to crucify. So we need to choose wisely. So here are a few benefits of our being filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Just to list a couple of them. Being fruitful empowers us to move through difficulties here in this life like Jesus did. When confronted with difficult circumstances and people, we can respond with powerful weapons of things like love, patience, and gentleness that keep us above the enemy rather than just responding in a soulish manner that puts us down on his level. Being fruitful is a sign that we are actually abiding and dwelling in Christ. Being fruitful enables us to use our spiritual gifts correctly and with the full measure of them. Being fruitful protects us and can actually cover us, because it is not a part of the enemy's nature. Therefore, he has no weapons against it. Being fruitful also enables us to discern what is of Christ and what isn't around us in this world. There are many, many blessings and benefits to being filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Being fruitful is a sign that we are doing what God actually desires for us to do in this life. So normally, I pray at the end of the talks for you guys. But right now, I actually want to do something a little different first. I want to give you an assignment in the form of a few questions that you can ask God yourself in your next prayer time. Here are three questions to ask God in regards to spiritual fruit in your life. Number one, Holy Spirit, what fruit are you working on in my life right now that you are trying to grow? That's an important question because the Holy Spirit is always working on some form of the fruit in our lives because, again, He's transforming our nature. So, Holy Spirit, are you working on the fruit of patience? Are you working on the fruit of gentleness? What fruit are you working on in my life right now that you are trying to grow? Number two, Holy Spirit, how can I do better abiding in Christ in this season of my life? Now, when you ask that question, be prepared that He will tell you or give you an idea, and I encourage you to be obedient, whether it's spending more time with Christ in His Word or soaking or asking questions, etc. Number three, Holy Spirit, show me what I need to crucify that is keeping me from being more fruitful. Show me what I need to crucify in my own life that is keeping me from being more fruitful. Ask these three questions in your quiet time and let the Holy Spirit speak to you plainly. And now I would like to close with a quick prayer. You know, in order for us to be more fruitful as individuals, it requires that we truly learn how to submit ourselves and surrender to the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in this area. So I'm going to just pray a brief prayer that allows the Holy Spirit to come and do what He needs to do in our lives. Okay? Holy Spirit, we thank You for the work that You do in our lives to change our nature and likeness more into that of Jesus's. Right now, we submit ourselves and we say, come, have Your way. Do the work in us that needs to be done. We submit our wills, minds, and emotions and say, have Your way. Produce the fruit in our lives that needs to be produced. Bring Your truth and Your supernatural grace into every area of our life. Uproot areas that have been unfruitful and fill us with the fruit that is needed for us to move forward. We say yes to every good thing You want to do in our lives in this season through the fruit that You're manifesting. In Jesus' holy and mighty name, we pray. Amen. For more information, podcasts, videos, prophecies, and teachings, simply go to fromwaterintowine.org and follow us on Facebook at The Water Into Wine. This podcast is produced by Media 12 Productions, media12.org.